Praise God. Hallelujah. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the privilege, the opportunity, the honor, the wonderful opportunity, Father, to hear from your word. We thank you. We humbly and reverently place ourselves under your word, and we posture ourselves to receive it, not as a word from a man, but a word from God. Thank you, Father God. Thank you that your word is you talking to us, and we receive it as your very own words talking to us. Thank you that they will bring light, they will bring divine illumination, they will bring revelation, they will bring comfort, they will bring great expectation in our heart and in our faith to focus on your assignments and your will to be done in our lives. Thank you, Father God. We magnify your word tonight, and we yield to the teacher, the Holy Spirit, who will unveil and unfold the word of God unto our spirits. We trust him tonight to give us utterance, eyes that see, ears that hear, and hearts that comprehend all that you have for us. In Jesus' name, and everybody said,
amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. All right. Well, there is a handout for you tonight, and we would ask our ushers to be dutiful to get it to you. We appreciate them.
Amen.
Hallelujah. So tonight we're going to be talking about how to resist the thief. How to resist the thief. So we're going to open up with our first scripture in John chapter 10, verse 10. And so we're going to give you some tactics tonight and some things that the Lord has given, I believe, to me to convey to you. So John 10:10 says it this way. The thief does not come except to steal, because that's a thief, right?
Yes.
A stealer, a robber, to kill and to destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it more, what?
Abundantly.
So God's not taking something from you. God's not doing stuff to you to teach you something.
That's right.
He doesn't take your money. He doesn't put you out of enough into not enough to teach you something.
That's right.
He didn't put pain, sickness, disease on you to teach you something or give you a lesson. You know, that's a bad father, right? Amen. If he would harm and abuse, we would have to accuse God of child abuse. Wouldn't that be correct?
Correct.
All right. So God is good. Everybody say God is good.
God is good.
All the time.
All the time.
Hallelujah. Ephesians 4:27 tells us neither give place to the devil. Don't give the devil any place. Amplified says, leave no such room or foothold for the devil. Give no opportunity to him. What? To come in and steal from you. To come in and take from you. Because the thief comes not, but for what? To steal, kill, and destroy. Don't give him any opportunity to steal from you, to kill and destroy anything that pertains to you. Now, the understood subject, if you understand, we all graduated from high school. We understand English. The understood subject here is you. So it's not up to God what gets done to the devil. It's up to who?
Up to us.
It's up to us. We have to do something about the devil. Amen?
Amen.
Ephesians 6, verse 10. I'll read it up there. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. That is not a suggestion. That's a mandate. That's an imperative mandate. The English posturing of the Greek is a present tense imperative. That means right now, be strong. Every day, be strong. Where? Not in yourself. Not try to be strong. But be strong in who? In the Lord. And in the what?
Power.
The power of his might. So you can also, without doing any harm, basically distinguish these two items as the word and the spirit. Be strong in the Lord, in his word, and in the Holy Spirit. That's why we exist. One of the reasons which we're full gospel, but we exist to to always emphasize the Word first, the Holy Spirit second. But you got to be strong in the Word and strong in the Holy Spirit. That's why we had the teaching this summer on what? Spirit-empowered life. Amen. Because we all need to be strong in the Holy Spirit, but we also need to be strong in the Word. This is a present tense imperative. That means it's so important. And as Brother Steve said, and as we've been always saying, it's a sense of urgency. The connotation is a sense of urgency. That means don't start out your day's journey without being strong in the Word. And for us, the 6:11. He said, put on the whole armor of God. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand against the wiles of the devil. So in other words, we're going to be strong in the Word and strong in the Holy Spirit, but put on the whole armor of God. The armor is not actually specific pieces of equipment per se. It is symbolized of Bible. It symbolizes Bible knowledge. Because why? We are destroyed for the lack of knowledge. And so we have to fight and contest with the enemy of our soul. And he tries to deceive you and destroy you because you don't know something. And in the connotation or the context of the thief, he doesn't want you to know he's coming. He's cunning, crafty. He is sneaky. He is deceptive. So he's coming. And just like we said last Wednesday night, a thief never comes at your front door and knock and let you know that they're there. They always try to get in another way. They try to sneak in and not knowing that he's got access into your life. And so then he tries to steal as much as he can without you knowing, and so he can get away with it. Everybody say, put on your armor.
Put on your armor.
He said, put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. So what for? Let's go to verse 12. For we wrestle. Now notice the word against in this verse as we read it. We wrestle, we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rules of the darkness of the sea, against spiritual host of wickedness in the heavenly places. What is the Holy Spirit telling us? Your problems, and we said it not once, but several, probably 10, 15 times. Many of you heard me say it. Our issues are 99.9% spiritual. But he wants you to be deceived that your problem is your spouse, your problem is your daughter, your son, your problem is your husband, your wife, your problem is your job, your boss, your problem is that person, your problem is your neighbor, your problem is that grandchild, that your problem is your sibling, your problem is flesh and blood.
Amen.
Because that's what most people talk about. And what when they talk about that person, it's almost like the devil doesn't even exist. There is no devil around. But how many times is he saying it? Against, against, against. These are not seen forces. These are unseen forces. Actually, evil spirits and demonic forces. Are you listening to me?
Yes.
Amen. And so he tells us, put on that whole armor. We're not going to go through the armor tonight because it's the armor that symbolizes Bible knowledge. The helmet of salvation is knowledge about salvation. And as Brother Steve brought up in pre-service prayer, it's about who you are in Christ and who you are in the body of Christ. Why? Because if you don't know who you are, you act like who you're not. And so he steals your spiritual identity of your helmet. He takes away truth because the word is truth. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth. The scripture says in Corinthians that all truth is in Jesus. And so he gets you further away from the truth because of when you know the truth, no bondage to that sickness because you're further away from things you need to know. Amen. Brother Hagin said the Holy Spirit corrected him because he was angry and yelled and threw his grandma's Methodist Bible and says, Lord, I do believe if you were standing right here in front of me, like from me to Sister Tracy or Brother Rodney, if you're standing right there in front of me, he said, I would have to tell you that you're lying. I do believe. And the Holy Spirit had to correct him. He stood up inside him and talked to him. He said, you do believe as far as you know. Because remember, faith is based on knowledge. He didn't know enough. And where knowledge stops, faith stops. So he had to make an adjustment inside of him and say and receive more truth and more light. He said, oh, I see Mark 11:24 now. When I pray, I must believe that I receive. He was believing to try to receive. He was believing to try to get. He was trying to get healed. When his faith needed to be oriented toward believe that I receive my healing. That's already belongs to me. I'm not trying to get healed because grace has already made healing available.
Amen.
But I have to take healing.
Amen.
Believe that I take it. And it's not based on feelings and it's not based on what I see. It's based on what I believe. The word of God says I'm healed, so I believe that I receive my healing based on what knowledge? The word of God.
Amen.
Spiritual knowledge, revelation knowledge. Has nothing to do with the pain in your body, has nothing to do with the symptoms that are going on in your body, has nothing to do with what you see going on around you. It is based on Bible knowledge, revelation knowledge of God's word. Amen. Hallelujah. I'm already fired up. All right, man. Y'all pray for me so we can get everything out that we need to get out. Okay, James 4:7. Because we can take off on any one of these and just spend the rest of the night doing that, but I'm on assignment. James 4:7 says, submit to God. Therefore, submit to God. Resist the devil, and he what? Now, who understood subject again is who? You. This is me. So on that, if you can highlight or write in your Bible or make a comment on your Bible, put on there, this means me. I have to do this. You have to submit to God, and then you have to resist the devil. You have to do it. And you should, ladies and gentlemen, have a Holy Ghost track record, so to speak, of the times you resisted the enemy in your life. Because just like Brother Steve brought up about the New England sports teams, And they are excellent. Thank God for them because they give us some visuals or some kind of role models of what we can pattern after. But what they do is they focus. And they fight for the next victory in the athletic context. But our victory is already won.
Amen.
So we always contend from that victory, but we reinforce the victory that has been bought for us. So we have to practice that. Executing that reinforcement. And the practice of that in our daily, weekly, monthly life experience is to resist the devil. But you first got to submit to God. Because the devil's not going to flee from you per se as an individual, but he's going to come up against the greater one inside of you.
Amen.
That's why you got to yield to the Holy Spirit, and he's going to give you tactics, the steps to take to resist the enemy in that particular area in your life. It's not always going to be a cookie cutter. And that's what we're going to talk about tonight. It's not always going to be the same way, the same pattern. It may be different. That's why you have to be strong in the word, but also strong in what? Because all your pat scriptures may not work this time. The sword of the Spirit is the word that the Spirit gives you to speak.
Amen.
It's not just throwing the Bible scriptures out of your head, because you can memorize Bible scriptures and they won't have no effect because they're not anointed. They're not rhema coming out of your heart. You got to be strong in the Holy Spirit, so the Holy Spirit quickens scripture as his assignment to you in my life is to bring all things to your remembrance as the Lord has told you. So as you're in the Word, the Holy Spirit can now have something to work with, and he brings that scripture. It may have been 5 years ago, and he brings it back up. Where? To your head? No, through your heart. Some people think, well, Pastor, quote scriptures. Well, they come right up here. I'm not thinking about them. You got to get out of your head. Amen. And stay in your heart. Amen. 1 Peter 5:8-9. This is good stuff. How to resist a thief. That's what we're talking about tonight. Be sober. Well, that's who's doing that? Everybody say us. We are. We are. Be vigilant. So those are directives, imperatives. Sober just means you got your thinking on straight. You got right thinking. And wrong thinking is real bad. Because if you get thinking wrong, the thief is already getting in. Because you won't resist. You won't put up a resistance to the enemy's incursions. He said, be vigilant. That means that's a soldier term. That means be ready, be on guard. Because who? Why you have to do this? Why do you have to do this? Come on, church. Everybody said, because my adversary. Adversary just means opponent, foe, one who is arrayed against you. You know, you have somebody that hates you a whole lot. He hates your kids. He hates your he hates everything about you. He doesn't care about you. But only thing he cares about is to control you. Remember, his purpose is what? To steal, kill, and destroy. He walks about as like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. And we've said this before. If the devil can defeat you in the mind, he can defeat you. And I've given you the analogy of a roaring lion usually roars after when they're eating. Either in the wild, their prey, they've already slain their prey, and they're standing over their slain prey, wildebeest, antelope, whatever, and they're roaring because they're trying to eat. They're slurping up the remains. They're just eating. In the zoo context, they roar, particularly when they feed them at night, they roar because they got that meat, fresh meat in front of them. What happens to you and I in the spirit context? He roars when he knows I've got him. I've got him defeated in their mind. And now we can go in and steal, kill, and destroy. Come on, boys. Let's go. Are you listening to me? He, as we're seeking whom he may devour. Now, I like that word may because it means he may not. Everybody say, I'm a may not. I'm going to be a may not. Because if you understand, we said it before, we don't want you to be super overly devil conscious because that's not the purpose of this. But you must understand that every day that the enemy is arrayed against you. That the whole atmosphere is congested with hostile forces and the enemy of your soul is waiting for an opportunity to get in. That's why you can't leave you can't be staying out of the Word and staying out of prayer and praying in the Holy Spirit. Amen. We don't just teach that just to fill up space on the church service calendar.
That's right.
You take this thing and apply it. Amen. Verse 9, let's keep going. Resist him. That's still talking about us. It's not talking about God. It's talking about us. Resist him steadfast how? In the faith, or in faith, knowing that the same sufferings, this constant barrage of attacks, assaults that the enemy tries to put against us are experienced by your brotherhood. Don't think anybody's exempt. Nobody in this room is exempt. Pastor's not in a bubble. and he's not protected, especially, you know, from any type of assault or attacks. Everybody's exposed to it. It's part of the Christian experience. It's part of the sufferings of Christ. Because even when Jesus was tempted in the wilderness, the Bible says that the devil left him for a season. And so he's persistent. He always comes back. He always comes back. He's trying to get back in. He's trying to counterattack. You get a victory, he's trying to get you to lose that victory or basically give up that victory because of a counterattack. Amen. And most people lose their healing. They lose their progress through a counterattack than anything else because they don't know he's trying to come back in. Amen. All right. So notice in the arenas of combat, conflict and complexity and confusion towards us is in the mind. We said that's where the battle is. That's your first answer there. In the mind. Everybody say in the mind.
In the mind.
An unredeemed, unrenewed mind gives access to the devil because the mind is the doorway to which the devil gains access to people. Now, the word even devil, the word devil, the first three answers are mind. The word devil, diabolos, your adversary, the devil, it means two Greek words that combined means to travel on a road and travel one way. He's coming one way. He's not coming 50 ways because that would kind of outmatch some people.
Amen.
But he's only coming at you and I, friends, one way. He's going to come through the, try to get a doorway into your mind. He's spiritually defeated. He's spiritually dead. He's not going to come to your spirit. He's going to come to your mind. So you got to take care of your mind. Simply put, wrong thinking opens the door to the devil. Sin lets the devil get in, and if the enemy can control your mind, he can control you. That's what he wants. He wants control so he can destroy everything you got. He destroys your marriage, destroy your health, your wealth, your future. Take you out of faith, put you into fear. And then he can now, he's got a wide open door to just get access constantly without resistance. Boom, boom, boom. And these, sometimes it's born again, spirit filled Christians.
Amen.
But they don't do anything with their mind. Amen.
Amen.
How does a thief do this? Now, I'll suggest to you three evil tactics, sinister schemes, to gain control of our minds. First, through temptation. Through temptation. Everybody say temptation.
Temptation.
What does he tempt us? To get us to sin. To allow him or them, meaning demons, to get in. Now let's go to James 1. Now I'm going to read out of the King James. James chapter 1. Verse 12. Blessed is the man that endureth what? Temptations. So you don't try to avoid temptations because they're unavoidable. So you have to think right about, you have a right perspective about temptation. Temptations will always come to you. If they came to Jesus, they will come to you. He was tempted at all points, yet without sin. So what's the objective of the devil? To tempt you to sin. And sin lets him in.
Amen.
Sin lets the thief get in.
Amen.
We talked a little bit about that last week. So you got to be on guard against these temptations. Now, Galatians gives you three categories of sin, sins of the sexual sins, spiritual sins, and social sins. And we talked about different scriptures that speak to that last week a little bit. We're not going to go back there. But he says, blessed are you during temptation, for when he is tried, he will receive the crown of life when the Lord has promised to them that love him. Now, verse 13, let no man say when he's tempted. Now, he's talking about temptation. I am tempted of God. Then what people say today, God's doing this to me. God must want something out of this because he's allowing it to happen. You're just basically saying, God's tempting me. God's not tempting you.
Amen. That's right.
Well, why is he allowing it, Pastor? Because you're allowing it. Amen. Amen. You see all this stuff at funerals and stuff, you know, people conversation. I am tempted of God, for God cannot be tempted with evil. So now he calls temptation evil. Temptation is evil, and God does not practice evil.
Amen.
Are you listening to me?
Yes.
Neither tempteth he any man, but every man is tempted. Listen to this very carefully. When he's drawn away of his own what?
Desires.
His own desires, his own lust. Where's desires? In the mind. It's a part of the emotion realm. And so he looks to what your flesh desires and you have an emotional attachment to, and he's able to bait a trap. This is a hunting expression. He's drawing you away like hunters draw away animals and birds of prey or whatever through traps. Puts a bait. He sets a bait and sets a trap for you. Amen.
Amen.
And then, you know, like people, when they had mouse issues or rat problems, they would put bait stations out. In the old school, you know, had little flapper things and with cheese or something. And the rat going in, the thing hit, and you know you got a rat caught in there. If you're from the country, you know what I'm talking about. Hallelujah. Thank God we got modern stuff to keep rats away. Praise God. But they're still out there. So he said, he's drawn away with his own lust and what? Enticed. How did he do Eve? So James is just giving us the x-ray of the temptation that Eve went through.
Yes.
He got her to look, he got her to long for it, and then he got her to lust for it. We said last week, Satan threw all three temptations at her: lust of the flesh, pride of life, and lust of the eyes. So he got her looking at it. She wanted it. She lusted for it. She took the bait. Everybody said, don't take the bait.
Don't take the bait.
So he's coming the same way. Lust entice. And he said, when lust is conceived, it bringeth forth what? Sin. And sin what? Lets the devil in. And sin, when it's finished, it bringeth forth what? Death. So it's a process. Now, he says gives birth there in the New King James. When full grown, brings forth death. That means when the birth conception is, you finally give birth to death. Death financially is lack, poverty, and debt. Death physically is sickness and disease. And physical debilitation, disabilities.
Amen.
Sickness is a form of physical death. You got to see death the way it is from the context of the Bible. Death, like I said, financially is debt, lack, and poverty. I mean, debt where you're behind. You're under the barrel. Head over heels, so to speak. Amen. If you're paying on time, you're still okay. But when you got to resist that. You got to resist that. Or there could be situations in there that where sin has come in. Amen.
Amen.
So Satan operates in the realm of the five senses by using wrong suggestions, thoughts, and feelings to try to influence people to wrongdoing, stepping out into areas of sin. Second, how does a thief do this? He, through terror or terrorizing, you can just say terrorizing or terror, to get us to yield our mind and will and emotions to his control. 2 Timothy 1:7 tells us God has not given us what? A spirit of fear. Romans 8:15 tells us that we have not received the bondage again unto spirit of bondage again to the fear. So spirit of fear, spirit of bondage again to the fear. And then again, and 1 John 4:18 tells us perfect love casts out fear because fear has torment. It torments what? Your mind. When you're worried, you're tormented. We call them destructive thoughts. Destructive thoughts are rolling through your mind, and that's torment. Or terrorizing your mind. Because you're afraid of what might happen, what will happen if I don't get the money. If I don't get better. If this relational situation doesn't turn around. You're worried about the unknown, and you have no control over it.
Amen.
So have you ever noticed that one reason people get depressed is that they think wrong thoughts?
Yes.
Thinking wrong thoughts can give the evil spirits access into the realm of your souls, our mind, our will, our emotion. For example, the enemy can get us thinking on past failures or how somebody has mistreated us over and over again. And we've said it before, when you start feeling mistreated, the devil's already working in your mind. He's working on your mind. He's terrorizing your mind. They're mistreating me. They're not appreciating me. They don't care about me.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Notice the scripture references. Spirit of fear, spirit of bondage, spirit of heaviness. I got the scripture references there. You can look them up. But these are spirits. And third, how does a thief do this? Through torment. Torment of what? Sickness and disease and pain. We see in Luke 13:11 that the woman had a spirit of infirmity. 18 years. How many of you know the spirit of infirmity is working in your physical body to affect sickness and disease and reinforce that pain and problem in your body? Because remember this, sin, sickness, Satan, and sorrow are all anonymous. Sin, sickness, Satan, and sorrow are all synonymous. Amen.
Amen.
Now let's look at some authority axioms. Again, so an axiom is a statement accepted as true on the basis of for argument or inference, an established rule or principle or self-evident truth. So number one, if you won't submit to an authority, you can't be what? In authority. Come on, class, y'all help me out. If you won't submit to an authority, you can't be in authority. So you got to look, am I submitted?
Yes.
And we tie submission to faithfulness. Now, how does that deal with sin, Pastor? Well, just go back to the Old Testament. When Saul didn't do everything that God told him to do, and he didn't submit to the word given by Samuel, the prophet, what did Samuel come up and say? He said, God does not delight in sacrifice when you don't hearken to the voice of the Lord your God. In other words, this is a statement. You can't gain by sacrifice what you lose through disobedience. You can't gain by sacrifice what you lose through disobedience. So some people become diligent in one area and say, well, I'm gonna overcompensate in this area, but I'm disobedient in these other areas. Because he told Saul, utterly destroy all the Amalekites, from the king all the way down to the animals. Don't save anything. What did he do? He saved the animals. He saved the women and children. And he kept the king only as a trophy. He said, does God delight in sacrifice and burnt offerings? That means I can just buy my way out of it. As long as I give a bigger offering, they won't say anything about my other areas. Nothing will be done. I can be in total rebellion in other areas. There was a woman sitting in the church, kind of like you would imagine, just use your imagination here. This is not Sister Frances, but Frances is sitting where this lady was. And they all labeled her as the most spiritual and holy person in the church. And she was always dressed dressed like a symbol of holiness, walked with a kind of a piety, a religious piety, and that she was holy and sanctified. And she had been struggling to get healed for 40 years. Over 40 years. And Brother Hagin walked in one time in the room, and he looked over her head, and he saw a dark cloud, darkness. And everybody thought, man, she's the most holiest saint in the church. You can't look at the outward. Man looks at the outward. God looks at the what? Heart. And your heart has to be in submission to God and to another person. You won't, authority won't work. Your ability to resist won't work if you're in rebellion. Because he said rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft and stubbornness like idolatry, wickedness and idolatry. That means it's like playing witchcraft. You're trying to maintain control and won't give up control. You can't tell me what to do. I was doing my own thing. I step out of line all the time because I may be sitting down on the inside, but I'm standing up in rebellion on the inside. And he said, Lord, what's wrong with her? Why can't she get healed? They said she's the Holy Spirit. And he said, and he saw that cloud. He said, I've been trying to get that woman to obey me and submit for 40 years. But she's been in rebellion. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Y'all got quiet real quick. See, rebellion is as what? The sin of witchcraft. It's sin. That's why you have to submit. That's why people struggle with dealing with the devil, because they ain't submitted to God. They've opened the door of sin. And sin lets what? Lets the devil get in. Sin lets the thief in. You got to make sure you're submitted. Submission is more so an attitude of the heart than actions exert outside with the hand and with the, you know, with other things. Because some people are dutiful and they're diligent, but they're not devoted. Well, praise the Lord. When you don't take or release authority, you give your authority away. Whatever you don't dominate, you will be dominated by it. It's not come what may, it is come what you say. If you don't speak to the its in your life, the its will speak to you. These are from the last couple of weeks, so you should be able to catch up where easy with it. We contend with our foes, spiritual foes, from our position of victory, not for a place of victory. So we have the victory, as we've been said that before, and we can be victorious. So let's get into two things, how to resist the devil practically. Now, two things we said again, God won't do for us. God won't receive for you. Now, you can just look at all the key scriptures about receiving. You receive authority as to be a son of God. John 1:12 tells you to them that believe, he gave them the power, the authority, the right, the privilege to be called the sons of God. I mean, you think about who you are. You're a son or daughter of God. That's awesome.
Amen.
You're a saint of God. But you got to receive that. God will not receive that for you. You got to receive power after the Holy Spirit's come upon you. You receive this authority that's been given to you in the name of Jesus and being a child of God. Amen. He won't receive from you. Number two, secondly, he won't resist the devil or deal with demons for you. Now, see, people like to play around with the devil. They watch horror movies. They watch animated stuff about demons and devils, but they never deal with the devil themselves. Because it's all a ploy to get you to not take it seriously or be real about it. Amen. Our rights and responsibilities as Christian believers and Christ followers is to believe and receive, take back what belongs to us in Christ. That's why your faith is so important. And resist the devil. How do we resist the devil? Steadfast in our faith. Now, these four witnesses instruct us to do something about the devil. You can read those later. I'm going to skip through that for the sake of time. But these are four witnesses in the New Testament that tell us it is our job, our responsibility to deal with the devil.
Amen.
Because he told us, he gave us the keys of the kingdom. Whatever you bind, whatever you allow and permit will be permitted. So how do we do it? How do we resist? The first way is with the word. This is our faith speaking and declaring it is written. This is the number one way to deal with the devil. So you got to be strong in what? The word. You can't allow the word to slip and stray from your life, everyday life and feeding. You've got to feed the word. We said when your faith grows, because faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word. So when your faith grows, the first byproduct of your faith growing, the first evidence that your faith is growing, is Satan's dominion over you wanes. It begins to weaken. Where he used to get at you and get to you in certain areas, now you're putting up resistance. He shouldn't be able to ring your bell every day over the same thing.
That's right.
Are y'all here tonight?
Yes.
With the word. It is written. Everybody say, it is written.
It is written.
We remember Jesus was being taught, tempted by the devil in the wilderness of temptation, and that's how Jesus used. He was hungry. He was starving after 40 days. And the devil came with him with everything he got. Lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, pride of life. He tried to take the last Adam out just like he did the first Adam. And guess what he's doing to you and me? Same MO. Trying to take us out. And Jesus had to say, it is what? Written. Amen. Second way is with a word. With a word. With a word. There's been times, just like this week, you know, we were at the RMAI retreat, Pastor Cynthia and I, and three words came. You know, one by our regional director. I mean, good, powerful words. Well, our responsibility now is to take that, write it down, ask the Lord to give us further insights and understanding of it, and then we have to stand our ground to see that prophecy or that word come to pass. Most people get a word and they just get excited about getting a word. But the thief comes and tries to get you to lay down that word. Now, what does 1 Timothy 1:18 says? If you can put that up. 1 Timothy 1:18. This charge I commit to thee, son Timothy, according to the prophecies that went before on thee. Now, this week, Monday, Tuesday, we had three prophecies. Outstanding. Pastor Cynthia had to record one of them on her phone. And the other one I had to write down. So I'm still going to write that down. But and then there was one given that was recorded, and it's on their recording, and they've got it for us. But three outstanding things. But he said, but that thou mightest buy them what? Buy those prophecies. War a what? Good warfare. If God speaks something to you for edification, exhortation, and comfort, then it's important, imperative that you take that and hold on to it. Amen.
Amen.
And resist the opposition of the enemy. Well, that don't mean anything. If it confirms your heart, if it witnesses to your spirit, if it witnesses with the word, if it confirms what you've already been hearing or seeing inside of you, then you better hold on to it, brother. You better hold on to it, sister. Amen? Because the confirmation comes to give you courage, to give you strength, to get you more focused on the fight and the journey ahead. Now, third way is with worship. Everybody say worship.
Worship.
How do we resist? I'm giving you tactics. This is Holy Spirit technology tonight. Holy Spirit tactics tonight by utilizing the power of praise, thanksgiving, and worship, the praise weapon. Brother Steve, you actually quoted it. I started laughing, smiling, because I said, man, there it is again. Because the Lord gave this to me. He said, Psalms 8:2, you know, out of the mouth of babes suckling. Now, he quoted the Jesus account where Jesus said, don't you know, out of the mouth of babes and sucklings, thou hast ordained praise. Well, the Psalm account says ordained strength. There's strength in praise. Amen. There was one lady who was said she would always try, when her children got sick, she would always approach them with Mark 16. Now, remember, I said you got to be strong in the word. Everybody say strong in the word.
Strong in the word.
And strong in the Holy Spirit. So it's the Holy Spirit. You got to always check in with the Holy Spirit and say, how do you want me to handle this situation? What do you want me to do in this situation? And the Holy Spirit's always got the strategy. He's always there to help. He's never off. You don't have to cut him on. He's always on. He's always on his job.
Amen.
And he's always going to reveal to you, show you, help you, encourage you, strengthen you. And so he's there to help. And so and several times the Holy Spirit said, don't put your hand on him, your child. Well, she was just going to do what the word said, but the Holy Spirit said, no, don't do it that way this time. He said, just praise and thank God. And she would do. She would just praise and thank God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Worship God. Right around that child. And the fever left. The flu disappeared. Come on now. These symptoms that were crawling all over their child got dissipated and dissolved. Praise is a weapon. Amen. And we see in Chronicles, when they were needing help from the Lord, the strategy was put the singers and the musicians out in front of the army. And we find in 2 Chronicles 20:22, when he put the singers and musicians, when they began to sing, the Lord sent ambushments. He put ambush to all the enemies. Three armies. They were outnumbered, outmatched, out-weaponized, overwhelmed. They didn't know what to do. But the Holy Spirit says, put the singers and the musicians out in front. What a battle strategy. Put your praise on. Put your thanksgiving on. Amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. And it silences the enemy and the avenger, the Bible says in Psalms 8:2. It muzzles him. When he's talking loud and boasting proud, you can shut him up. Shut him down. Silence him. Amen. The fourth way is with weapons. These are the weapons of our warfare that are mighty through God, that we're able to pull down arguments, strongholds in the mind. Where's the battle? Everybody say in the mind. So you got to pull down these things that he got hurled in there. He said casting down imaginations, casting down arguments that says, well, God's not going to bring it to pass this time. God's not going to do it this time. He forgot about you this time. No, you bring down those arguments. Bring it into captivity, every thought into the obedience of Christ. You got to take care of those thoughts. There's a war of words going on between your ears.
Yes, that's right.
It's the devil's words called thoughts, ideas, and suggestions to get you out of faith and into fear.
Amen.
And if you ever think you can whip the devil mentally or in the reason realm, you're almost a lost cause, because you can't out-intellect the devil. You count out academic the devil. He's been around, we don't know how long, at least millions of years probably before we ever came on the scene. He even knows the Bible, but he can't quote it because there's no truth in him. He distorts it. He twists it. That's why you need the word and you need the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
To cast down those thoughts. To say, well, maybe God doesn't heal everybody. That's a lot of pit of hell. You got to pull that down.
Amen.
Amen? Maybe God does just want you to live on barely good or on the street and struggle and be behind all the time. Maybe God doesn't ever want you to have a good car. Pull it down. Everybody say, pull it down.
Pull it down.
You got to use those weapons and pull it down. Amen.
Amen.
And so those mighty weapons are the word of God, the name of Jesus, the blood of Jesus, and there's others, but I just give you those three big three. All right? The fifth way is with walking in the commandment of love. Everybody say, walking in love.
Walking in love.
Walking in love. So the word, a word, with worship, with weapons, with walking in love. Everybody say walking in love.
Walking in love.
So this is more of a preventive or protective form of resistance against the devil. Because if he can't get in because the window's locked and sealed and the back door's locked and bolted, come on now, and there's no crawl space underneath that he can get in, and the glass is bulletproof.
Amen.
Well, what does 1 Corinthians 13 says in verse 8? Love never what? Amplified says it never fades out, becomes obsolete, comes to an end.
That's right.
If it never fails, that's the only fail-proof thing in life.
Amen.
So if you stay in love, you never fail.
Amen.
When the enemy comes at you, you walking in love. I'm talking about the God kind of love, not phileo or eros or storge. Because most folks love their friends and family. But that's natural human love. It doesn't work. I don't care how much you love and squeeze and hug your babies and your daughters and sons. If the devil gets in, they're going to get on drugs. They're going to go out in alcohol. They're going to have illicit sex. They're going to do things crazy because the devil wants to get in and get control.
Amen.
Are you listening to me? You're crying and telling them, don't you love your mama? Don't you care about your mama? That has nothing. It don't work.
Amen.
The thief is already deceiving you, thinking that kind of love, that maternal or paternal love, is going to work in those scenarios. The devil will get in them and disappoint you and discourage you and depress you.
Amen.
Are you listening to me?
See,
you disable and disarm his abilities and access to touch you and terrorize or torment your life. This keeps your covenant of peace, protection, and provision in full force and in effect in your life. It's where the scripture says over in 1 John, the wicked one touches you not. He can't touch you. You'd be like that song, can't touch this. Dun, 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 dun. Can't touch this because you're walking in love. And remember, we said it before, every step out of love is sin.
Mm-hmm.
And sin does what? Lets him in. Are you listening to me?
Yes.
Real quick story. We're close. Y'all getting something out of it?
Yes. Amen.
There was a lady who had a daughter who had a very severe case of epilepsy. She went to all the specialists in the state of Mississippi and others to refer for her case to her, because this case was so hard, they were probably going to have to institutionalize her to just try to control the seizures and things that were going on in her life. And in an earlier meeting, she had brought some concerns to Brother Hagin and Miss Hagin, and at the time. And she had issues with some of her relatives. She had an aunt, kind of little grudge, a little offense. Come on now, y'all help me out now. Because if the devil can get you offended, he can beat you. He can get you all messed up. And so she learned in that first meeting to walk in love and forgive her relatives. I mean, you got to forgive quick. Because when you start feeling mistreated, what did I say? The devil's already working on you. When you feel like somebody done me wrong, and you're singing that somebody done me wrong song, you're already being defeated. When you're pouting on the phone or on the media and telling everybody how hopeless and sad you are because, you know, nobody loves me, nobody cares about me, you're already getting beat up. You're already beat down. Amen. Everybody said love never fails.
Love never fails.
So she forgives her. So she's still dealing with the epilepsy, and it's gotten real, got a little, and she, Brother Hagin came back in the area, and so they called to the hotel room where he was, the lady did, and asked if Brother Hagin would come over to the house and pray for her daughter. And he said no. She, Sister Hagen, Miss Aretha, answer the phone, and she normally says, she said, look, he gets a lot of requests, and he usually doesn't go because he's busy and this and that. He's a traveling minister, and everybody wants a little bit of time, and it gets so much when everybody wants an appointment or everybody wants to see him. And so he said, no. He said, but he only goes if the Holy Spirit tells him. So he's in there shaving, and the Holy Spirit tells him, go. And he asked, who is that? That's so-and-so, the lady with the epileptic towel. She said, okay, tell her I'll be over there in 10 minutes. So the Holy Spirit told her to go. And as he's going over and he gets over there and he gets ready to pray, the Holy Spirit says, no, don't pray for her. Don't speak the name of Jesus. Don't even talk to her about it. And he quoted Exodus. I don't know if you still got it up or got it on, but Exodus 15:26, where it says, if you will keep my commandments and walk in my statutes. What's the commandment we have? The New Testament commandment, the new commandment is the commandment of love. So he told her, if you keep this commandment of love, if you walk in the statutes of the commandment of love, then I will take sickness from the midst of you. Protective, preventive. And the number of your days you'll fulfill. Amen?
Amen?
Amen. I will put none of these, allow, that's a allow word, basically. I will allow none of the disease which I brought upon the Egyptians to come on you. Amen?
Amen.
Walking in the word and walking in the Holy Spirit, walking in the commandment of love. So he said, just stand over your daughter and tell the devil, say, Satan, I'm walking in love. Now you take your hands off of her. I'm walking in love. I'm walking in the commandment of love. And she got a hold of it just like a dog with a bone. She got a hold of it. She stood before her daughter, said, Satan, I tell you right now, I'm walking in love. You take your hands off my daughter. You take your hand. And she was almost about to have a seizure at that moment. And then all of a sudden, the epilepsy left, the seizures left, and never came back. Somebody said, glory to God. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Y'all stand to your feet, please. Stand to your feet.